But I want to share a thought today, at least the idea I want to get in your mind. Last week we just talked about the coming of the Lord, and we talked about being rapture ready. You remember that? We talked about we're going to wake up, look up, and clean up. Say, wake up. What the Bible says, right? It says, look up, be ready, right? And it says, clean up. Jesus is coming, and He's got a plan, and it's closer than you think. So you might see up here behind us, maybe we had a, did we have that little, the one with the mirror on it? Did we have that up there? Did it show just then? Did y'all have that little? Well, I'm going to be mad. What? So I had this real cool media up here, and it had a rear view mirror on it, and it showed someone looking into the rear view mirror. And then on the bottom of the rear view mirror, what does it say? Does anybody know? What does it say on that outside mirror? Objects are closer than you think, or more than they appear. And I'm just saying right now, the coming of the Lord is closer than it appears. I want to say a couple things also about our nation and about what's going on in our world and in our nation, especially where we live. I'm in a generation that's been here for a long time. So I'm six decades in this place, right? And I've seen some stuff. And let me just tell you something. I've seen things that some of you 30-somethings have never seen. Some of you 40-somethings have never seen. Some of you 20-somethings, you weren't even born there anyhow, but you've never seen. And if you keep going down the decades, you will find that there's some 50-somethings and 40-somethings in this room that you've seen something that the 30-somethings have never seen. There are people right now that are bearing children, giving birth to kids right now, and I'm going to tell you for sure, they're coming into a world that we've never seen, that we're all experiencing. Can you imagine a child coming into a world that it comes in right off the bat knowing that homosexuality is all right and same-sex marriage is okay and it's honored by our government? Y'all going to have to excuse me just a minute. I'm struggling swallowing that right now for the United States of America. Now listen to me, I'm going to tell you something. Don't go around telling people, well, Jesus is going to come now, sure going to come now, because they're letting all those homosexuals get married and lesbians get married in the church, and the government's going to have to marry them, and same-sex marriage is okay. Jesus is going to come because of that. Listen, I'm going to tell you what's going to come. Judgment comes because of that stuff. Jesus comes because He's got a time. He's not worried. He's not sweating. He's not checking out our world to say, I'm going to come. Matter of fact, we're not even mentioned in the Bible when it comes to what's going on in the end of time. It's about Israel, and it's about time. It's not about us. Now, I'm just going to go ahead and say this. It bothers me an awful lot. It bothers me an awful lot that the tallest building in our nation is also called the One World Trade Center. And any time a nation biblically has ever tried to build a tower, the higher you build your buildings, the more conceited you become, and judgment is near. And I'm just going to say that when the rainbow lights hit the top of that building, I'm not doing this because I'm mad or homophobic. I'm not mad or homosexual. I'm not homophobic. I'm just telling you that you have no place in the kingdom of God for same-sex marriage. When they put the colored lights on the top of that building, the rainbow on the top of that, it grieved me for our nation. It grieved me for finances. We've seen two financial falls in the last 20 years. I'm going to tell you something. We ain't seen nothing yet. So if any of you are preppers, you might be thinking about, they're going to be some hard times before Jesus comes. And this kind of stuff is what gets it. The other thing is, I appreciate my president, and what he said at a funeral was wonderful, and he sang Amazing Grace, and I was all excited about that, but my heart broke when I saw the White House. It just broke my heart. It broke my heart. Listen to me. I'm not blaming people. We're a nation, y'all. This is all of us involved in this. You're going to say, no, I'm not. Listen, you can't secede. You tried that in 1800s. It don't work. Y'all don't want me to go there, right? What happened in North Carolina, or South Carolina in Charleston, what happened there is causing many of the states to reevaluate what they think about the battle flag of the Confederacy and take it down because of the symbolic nature of it. Now, I'm going to say this. For all of you that love it because of history, let me just help you on that. You're loving a blight that was on our nation. If you think the Civil War is worth celebrating, listen to me. When brother killed brother, 600,000 Americans killed each other, father against son, and you're going to tell me we ought to brag about that? I don't think so. I mean, I don't think so. I mean, I look at it just from that one thing alone, that I need to wake up a little bit around here and quit trying to celebrate and hold on to something that was a total embarrassment worldwide for America. They did have it. We are closer than we think. Excellent. So I'm just trying to put some things at least in perspective right now. So you're going to wonder about our church and what we think and where we live. I'm going to tell you where we live right now. We live that the Supreme Court made a decision. No, not the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court. No. See, y'all still not getting it. I ain't talking about Washington. I'm talking about the Supreme Court made a decision 6,000 years ago in Genesis chapter 2, and it comprised of three judges, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and said, we will make man and we will make woman, and they will become one flesh, and never gave credence for anything else. I've got another justice I believe in. I've got another Supreme Court that gives me an order. So around this house, we won't be having marriages. It's in our doctrine, it's in our fundamental belief system that we believe in heterosexual marriage, not same-sex marriage. Well, homosexual wants to come, they can come, they can enjoy, they can be a part of our services, they can do whatever. That's fine. I love people, that's fine. But the problem is, when it comes to the church, this is a house of worship. And we're going to keep it a house of worship. Now, for all of you that are offended over the Confederacy, get over it. And y'all are offended because I said something about the White House and having, he's my president like he's everybody else's president. It still grieves me. So we got to get over some stuff this morning. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. You wave whatever flag you want to, but Jesus is coming. You need to make up your mind that you only got one thing to wave, and that's going to be the Word of God. It needs to be waved over your heart today, and there needs to be a change in our lives. We need a place where we can come and bring our hurts and our wounds and not be kicked out of the church because we have a problem. Some people can't go to church and have a complaint. Well, they can go to the law and have a complaint. They can go to the world and talk to somebody that doesn't believe. But if they come to church, you're afraid someone's going to look down. And I'm going to tell you right now, if people are hurting, the Bible says if they hurt, we should hurt. If they're laughing, we should laugh. If they're happy, we're going to be happy. But if they're sad, there's got to be a place where people can come and they can confess a fault one to another and not be condemned. And I'm just declaring Gateway Family Church is going to be that, or we won't be. Just won't be. I can go other places and preach. I'm God called here. So if this helps you, I'm happy. And if it doesn't help you, I'm still Mike Wright. Open your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 3. Someone told me, you go on Google, you can't buy a Confederate flag, but you can buy a Nazi swastika. That's like Germans saying we want to celebrate our heritage and fly a Nazi flag. I don't think so. I'm just saying, y'all. We need to put on our thinking cap. You're in another generation. Say I'm in another generation. Y'all look at me. I'm 64 years old. I was brought up in Arkansas. On a plantation called Kokomo. You can Google it up. It comes up, but there's nothing there but land in the Mississippi Delta. I was a kid there, brought up there. I've seen stuff that embarrasses me today. My heart cries today when I think about what it was. And some of y'all have never seen it, you've never heard it, and you're just saying, I can't believe y'all feel like that. I'm going to tell you right now, you just don't have enough years is your problem. You get enough years, you'll have some stuff that you know need to be apologized for. There'll be some stuff you know you need to forgive. There'll be some stuff you know you need to get right. Amen? And y'all look at me. I want to go to heaven here. I want to go when Jesus comes. I want my heart right. I want my mind right. I want to go when Jesus comes. I don't want to be hung up on something here that totally offends the kingdom, whatever that looks like. Look in 2 Peter chapter 3. And I love you.
Love you too, brother.
Tim and I are both Southerners to the bone, aren't we, Tim? South Carolina and Arkansas. What do you do with that? We travel back together, so I'm just saying. Get a few more years, y'all come talk to me. 2 Peter chapter 3, and here's what the Word of God says. Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of a reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord's Savior. Knowing this, verse number 3, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lust. Let me stop here and just preach one thought on this. Do you understand that it is lust, not law? We're getting a law because of lust. There's a new law because of lust. Because they think they're away, they feel away, they have a lust for away. And I'm going to tell you something else. People that steal are going to come up with that. Well, it's just in my genes. Pedophiles come up with it. I love kids. It's just a lust in my life. So obviously it's okay. Oh, no one's saying amen right now, do you? You see what I'm talking about? It feels good to me, so then I'm going to do it. I'm going to help you right now. We need to be very aware when our law is moved by lust instead of by the kingdom of God. And what we've got is a law of lust given to our nation. Now, you read your Bible. You read your Bible now that you understand that. Knowing first this, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to what? Their own lust, what they want to do, how they want to do it, and saying, where is the promise of His coming? In other words, He ain't here. There's nothing to make us want to change. For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Isn't that what they say? God made me this way. For this they, watch this, for this they willfully forget that by the word of God, I wish we could underline that in your Bible. By the word of God, the heavens were of old and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. It's by the word of God. Say the word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Heaven and earth will pass away, but the Word of God will last forever. Flowers will fade and grass will wilt, but the Word of God is established. It's the Word of God that Paul said in Hebrews is holding this world together, God by His Word. Just saying. For, yeah. Yeah, you think you're because you had a science class, what you think is that you're here because of 14 pounds of pressure per square inch called gravity holding you down. Gravity ain't holding anything down. God is. God is. God is. I'll step over science because the Word of God says everything's held together by Him. What keeps you from flying off is God's put His Word on this planet. Keep following me here. Verse number 5. For this they, now watch what they do, they willfully forget. He was a Christian. She was singing in the choir. This they what? Willfully forget. That by the word of God the heavens were of old and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded by water. But the heavens and the earth, watch this now, but the heavens and the earth which are now preserved by what? By what? The same word. Say same word. God doesn't have a different word today than He had in the beginning. What He said in Genesis 1 and 2, He means today. The same word that brought creation is the same word that holds us today, is the same word that puts man and woman together. And I won't say any more about that, but there you go. But the heavens and the earth, verse 7, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of the ungodly men. Now follow me close through here. But beloved, do not forget this one thing. Now underline one thing. There's not a lot you got to remember today, but you get one thing. That's what he says here. Remember one thing, that with the Lord one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but He is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The reason He hasn't come yet is as a time schedule. He's not slothful. He wants people to repent. That's People are looking around and saying, well, God's, you know, he's not going to do this. I'm just saying he's got his time, y'all. Verse number 10, the day of the Lord is always talking about the coming of Christ. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt in fervent heat, and both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in your conduct and your godliness? Amen. How should I be living my life right now? Help me out, somebody. I should be trying to live as close to God as I can. And if I've got something in my life that's not moving me toward God, I need to get shed of it. That's old English for get rid of it. My mama speaks old English, you know. So look what the Bible says. Looking for and hastening the coming of the day of the Lord. It doesn't mean I'm making it come faster. It means I'm looking at it. And the more I look at it, the faster it comes. Say, Jesus is coming. The Bible says in 2 Timothy, I think it's 2 Timothy 4:8, if it's not, it's 1 Timothy, it's one of the Timothy letters. I think it maybe it's 1:4:8, and it says there that Jesus is coming back. Paul says this. He said, the Lord is coming back, and I'm ready. I'm ready to be poured out as an offering. I'm ready to go and get out of here. And he says this, and he's coming for me and everyone that loves his appearing. Look at me, let me tell you something. You need to love the fact that Jesus is coming back. Yeah, but what if my baby's not saved? The quicker he comes, the quicker the promise will be made. Excuse me just a minute. If I'm holding on to a promise and it's out there, if I see Jesus coming quicker, that promise is coming quicker. And, oh, come on now. Instead of me thinking I'm going to lose it, I'm thinking I'm going to get it quicker. Amen? I may or may not, but my faith says I don't let go of that promise that salvation is for me and my family. And Jesus, come quickly. The Bible says in Revelation 21 that the Spirit and the bride, that's us, are saying, come quickly, Lord. You need to be excited about Jesus coming. And you young people, 15, 16 years old, are saying, I wish you'd hold off till I'm married. If I could just have that wedding. Any 15, 16-year-olds agree with me or not? No? Okay. Yes. How many of y'all have ever wished that he would hold off so you could get something done? Anybody? Say, yeah, right? Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm honest. I'm telling you, I have. There are things I've looked at and said, I hope Jesus doesn't come today. I would like to do that. And so I let things on this earth look better than his coming. Let me tell you right now, there's nothing better than the coming of the Lord. There's nothing greater in your life. There's not a miracle. There's not a healing. There's not a deliverance in your life that'll be greater than the coming of the Lord. If I want anything to happen, I ought to want Jesus to come back. I want him to visit this service, but before I want him in here, I want him to come in the clouds. I'd rather him blow the trumpet and give the shout and us rise up at 7:45 this morning and go be with him and let someone else preach today. Just saying, that needs to be in us as believers. Y'all still tracking me? Yeah. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, verse 14, be diligent to be found by him in peace. Now, some of you troublemakers need to suck it up and get over it. You that gossip and backbite and cause trouble, and I don't know who you are, some of y'all need to wake up and get off the internet. You embarrass the rest of us. I hide you on my timeline. It's your dumb statements. Of course you're going to get a divorce. You keep putting it on Facebook. Huh? I just know my husband fooling around. If he ain't, he is now. You've made it public. Therefore, beloved, looking to, you can see I'm in another generation, right? And you young people are saying, he is so dumb. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, not stirring up something, without spot and blameless. That means your walk is going to be holy. Amen? You're not going to walk in sin. You're not going to be walking as close to the world as you can and still want to go to heaven. Look at me. You can come to church shacking up And you can come to the altar and cry and pray, but if you go home shacking up, you're not going to heaven when he comes. I'm just saying, there's some things don't get in. So we just travel forward. And consider that the long suffering of the Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom is given to him, has written also to you. So I'm just saying, Peter lays this out pretty plainly to me, pretty clearly, that God is in control. And I'm going to just tell you this, God's in control of the signs and the wonders that are coming. And there's several things in the Bible that speak to us. In Acts chapter 1, Jesus answered and said, it's not for you to know the times and the seasons. Quit worrying about that. God's, the Father has that. It's under his authority. Say it's in his authority. Don't put a date on when Jesus is coming. There are people that are saying he's coming in September. If he doesn't, you're going to look stupid. If he doesn't, you're going to be cynical and you're going to be less believing in his coming. So you don't set a date. Now you're going to say, well, what if he does come? If he does come, you can't be proud because you're going to be like him. So we won't know what you thought anyhow. So anyway, God's got this. He's got this. And when people say, why is he coming now? And why us? Why this generation? Why, Pastor, do you believe it's so real that he's coming? It's not because we're doing anything wrong, y'all. And it's not because we're doing everything right. It's because he's got a time frame. And there's a limit to how long this earth is going to be here. When they go and they say, well, we're losing fauna. And what is the other, what are they called, the animals? Yeah, whatever. I don't know. Huh? Flora and fauna. If you're going to, we're going to lose all the animals and the plants anyhow, and they're cutting down all the trees in South America, and everybody's licking up all the oil, and we're just going to, you know, and everything's melting on us. We got this problem with this heating of the earth. I'm going to say this: there's no doubt we're going to have some stuff because this place ain't lasting forever. There's coming a time when Jesus is coming back. So I don't know about the resources. I don't know how long they'll last. I don't know what it's going to look like. I know in the last days people are going to want food. I know in the last days people are going to want oil. I know in the last days there's going to be people starving because they don't have food enough, and the Antichrist plays on that. I'm just saying, y'all, Jesus is coming back, and we're subject to see him coming back. Amen? And the Bible says there'll be mockers and scoffers. I'm going to help you right now. If you're a mocker and a scoffer and you come to complain to me about Jesus coming, I'm going to say, I told you so. Because that's what we're going to have. The other thing is, the Bible says, note one thing, that with the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years like a day. God has a calendar plan. Write this down somewhere, Isaiah 46:10, where the Word of God says that God speaks the end from the beginning. How many remember that in your Bible? God speaks the end from the beginning. In other words, when he starts something, he's also showing you the finish. Doesn't the Bible tell you in the book of Revelation that the tree of life is going to be in heaven? Isn't the word heaven paradise? Doesn't the word paradise mean garden? Can I help you just a minute? They had angels around the tree of life in the garden, but when you get to heaven, ain't nobody going to be guarding it. You can go right up to it and eat the leaves of it. You can get the fruit of it. You'll have access to the tree of life. What God did in the beginning, he was showing you what the end was going to be. He showed you Adam and Eve in the presence of God. He showed you a man and a woman that had companionship with God, that walked with him. He showed you the end in the beginning. Everything that happened in the beginning pointed to the end. Amen. Now some of y'all are going to be a little bit cross-eyed on this one, but just quickly, let's do a couple more things. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're going to look at verses 1 through 5. 1 Thessalonians 5. Check me out on this one. Just going to help you, and then we're going to... Here's what I want to do. I want to take you to a couple places. I would like to take you to talk about the 7 days of creation. I want to talk about Noah. I'd like to talk just a little bit about Jesus turning the water into wine. Let's do those three things and see what comes out of it. So here's what we got. Chapter 5, verse number 1 of 1 Thessalonians. But concerning the times, here we are, there's your word. Concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord, that's the coming of the Lord, so comes as a thief in the night. Now that kind of scares people. A thief in the night. We're not going to know when it's going to happen. Read a little bit further. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes on them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, we're changing now. We went from thief coming to something different's coming. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We are not of the night or darkness. I do not believe Jesus is coming for you as a thief in the night. I believe He's coming with the blast of an archangel's trumpet. I believe He's coming and daylight's coming. I believe we hear it, we see it, and we go. I don't think it's going to be a thief in the night for us, according to Scripture. Amen? But He says we shouldn't have to worry about the times. Now, how many of you know God counts in sevens? My son Gabriel is so funny. He's still funny. He's one of the funniest kids ever, except for his son, Colt, which is a spitting image plus. He's 1.5. One of the things Gabriel did is the craziest thing. He was, I don't know how old he was, just a little kid, just, you know, small kid, and he was in school and they were learning to count, like, you know, I don't know, counting by ones or whatever. And he came home and he said, I can count by threes. We said, what? We said, what? You now know, I thought maybe I'm telling a lie. Y'all see, I watched my wife. Y'all didn't know that, did you? She keeps me checked. Okay, so he came home. How many of y'all know that you didn't learn to count by threes? I mean, even in school, you didn't learn that. You learned to count by twos and tens, right? You counted by fives, but we never were taught to count by threes. Gabriel, out of all that, Gabriel comes home. You school teachers know him, right? Gabriel comes home from school. He says, I can count by threes. Ha, really, God, go ahead. And that kid started 3, 6, 9, 12, 15, 18, 21. And he started counting. I told him, shut up, finally. He's like a savant idiot. It just so crazy in some areas and savant in the counting by threes. But it was just crazy what he did. That was his ability to count. Well, I'm going to say this. God counts in sevens. You'll find it throughout Scripture. He counts in seven. How many days of creation were there? Seven. Six of creation and the one of rest. 7 days. There are seven sabbatical years. We're in a sabbatical year. We're in a Shemitah, it's called. Now, he also says there's 7 times 7 years, and at the end of that 49, the next year is called what?
Jubilee.
So every 50th year is a Jubilee year. We're coming in to those years right now. And I don't have the information to give you right now, but I'll just tell you, you can start backing up in sevens from, or come from the beginning or go backwards from sevens, and you'll find major things happened in our nation on sevens, in years of the seven, of the sevens moving forward. And that's just another bit of trivia, but it's just there. So he counted by seven, days of creation by seven. He declared to Daniel a dream of 7 times 70 for 490 days, which is going to actually be years. And we're still faulting 7 of those years. I believe they're coming. I believe those other 7 years are coming because they were called Jacob's trouble. And I don't think we've seen that yet. I believe there are 7 years coming. I ain't going to be here. I'm going in the rapture of the church. But Jacob's troubles are coming to this earth, and it's going to break out in a 7-year period. God also counts in thousands because he says a day is like a 1,000 years. So he will bring multiples of 1,000 in. Now, if you would just bear with me a little bit, and if we just took the 7 days of creation, and this is something that Messianic Jews already know. I'm not preaching anything that I got from God. I got it from Messianic Jews. But if the 7 days of creation, it really thrills me in my study that each one of these days has something to do with the first and second and third and fourth and fifth millennial. Okay, let me give you the ideas of that, and we'll run quickly with this. Day number one, what did God do? He separated light from darkness. What happened in the first millennia? It's got to be a major spiritual event. The major spiritual event in the first millennia was Adam's sin that separated him from light. In day number two, it was waters above and below. What happened with that? They were separated, waters above and water below. In the second millennium, it was Noah. How many of you remember the Bible says, and it says it very clearly in your Bible, that it was not rain that flooded the earth? Bingo. In chapter 7, the Word of God says that the fountains of the deep broke open. The beneath and the above came together. The rain came down and the floods came up. So there was a two things. What happened in the second day? He separated them. So now we got them coming back together in judgment. But what does God do? Separates them again. So you have that judgment of Noah. That was a spiritual event. On the third day, there were plants that had seeds, and they were told that they were going to fill the whole earth because of seeds. In the third millennial, Abraham got a promise from God, and God said, out of your seed, the nations will be blessed. The fourth day was lights above. He put the star and the stars and the sun and the moon in air, and that's a time in the fourth millennium that Jesus became and was called the light of the world. We saw heaven's light that day. On the fifth day of creation, the living creatures were made. I'm going to say this. In that millennium, in that fifth day, that fifth millennium that was running, that is the millennium where Jesus was crucified. It's where he died, but it's also where we became new creatures. That was a spiritual event for you, by the way. Not just him dying, but old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That I've been made a new creature. So it coincides in God's plan. In day number six, man was given to fulfill and subdue the earth. That's the sixth day. How many of y'all know man has subdued the earth? We filled it and subdued it. We're living in the sixth day. If all of these are there, then what would be the seventh day? The millennium. The seventh day had to be a day of rest. It's got to be 1,000 years, and that would be the millennial. Now, some people don't believe in the millennial reign, i.e. the Jehovah's Witness, and I don't know how many others that just don't buy into that. I happen to be one of those that buy into it. I believe there'll be a millennial reign. Look with me really quickly into Revelation chapter 20. I'm going to rush on this one, but I want you to get it. Look in Revelation chapter 20. Check me out on these 1,000 years on millennial reign. Now, the sequence is going to be the rapture of the church. We all go up. When we go up, there's going to be a 7-year tribulation on the earth. There's going to be a 7-year wedding in heaven. Y'all tracking me? Yeah. You need to remember that, because we're going to go to John 2 in a minute, and you'll want to know how to tie it in. So while there's tribulation, Jacob's trouble on the earth, the church is going to be in heaven. We're going to be at the wedding supper of the Lamb, according to Scripture. We're going to be there at that wedding. So there's going to be that time. And then we come back with him, the second coming. When we come back with him, then that's when he's going to come in, swoop in, save Israel, knock out Russia and China, begin to set up a kingdom on the earth then, and there'll be mortals living. We'll be there, but there'll be mortals living during those 1,000 years, because the Bible says at the end of the 1,000 years, the devil's going to be loosed again. Are y'all still kind of tracking me? You got a foggy idea? Okay. Chapter 20, watch this. And I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold to the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for how long? 1,000 years. And he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal on him so that he should deceive the nations no more till the what? 1,000 years were finished. But after these things, he must be released for a little while. And I saw thrones and they that sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the Word of God, who had not worshiped the beast nor his image, and had not taken his mark on their foreheads or their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for how long? 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead did not live again until the what? The 1,000 years were finished. So you're going to wonder about what are the people doing that are dead now in sin? They in hell. When are they going to get resurrected? After the end of the 1,000-year reign. Well, where are they going to go? With the devil to the bottomless pit. Read my lips, because you're going to read the Bible, but read my lips right now. and suffer forever and ever. Now, why am I making a point of that? Because there is a doctrine that floats around our churches that says once you're dead, you just dead. There's no suffering. You don't go to hell. You're just going to die. I'm going to help you right now. There needs to be a hell you're afraid of. There ought to be a heaven you want. That there ought to be a hell that you know you'll spend an eternity there. I do not know how you do that, but I know the Bible says when I die, if I die in sin, I go to hell. And at the end of time, I'm pulled out, resurrected in my body. Now listen to me. I'm given a body at that time that is, I'm going to say it this way, glorified. You mean a sinner's going to get a new body too? Well, they got to have something that can burn and suffer when they go to hell. And he calls them up, resurrects them. That means their body took on place, right? Okay, I'm just saying, stay with me on this. Y'all still tracking me? Here's what it says. It says 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the power of death has no power. The second death has no power. And they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him how long? 1,000 years. So we're dealing with this 1,000-year reign, the place of God. And if you keep reading this, you're going to find out that they get cast in the lake of fire and they're going to be there. The lake of fire in hell is cast in the bottomless pit. They're going to be cast in that lake of fire, for the bottomless pit and hell are going to be cast in the lake of fire, and they will suffer forever and ever according to Scripture. So it's not going to be 3 seconds, then it's over. You're not just going to go poof and be gone. You're going to go there and stay there. Say pre-rapture. That's what you are right now. We ain't raptured, but we about to be. That would be pre-rapture. So I'm living in a pre-rapture time. I'm living in a time right now just before the Great Tribulation. Look at me. Look at me. We're just a step away. Amen. Just a step away from the wedding supper of the Lamb. You're just a step away. See, if I plan for 100 years but live my life like it's a step away, I'm a different Mike Wright. Oh, yeah, we're going to plan. Yeah, you can have a 401. You can get married. You can do everything you want. But plan for 100 years, but live your life like this next moment is going to be the trumpet sound and we leave here. That you're going to meet your makers how we got to live it. Amen? Amen. Now, not only were there, there are several other calendars that are in this. We're under the Gregorian calendar, right? Okay, the Gregorian calendar is solar. You've got a Jewish civil and a Jewish religious. The Jewish civil calendar says we're in the year 5775. We're 25 years from 6,000. At the end of 6,000, we're out of here. So their calendar says about 25 years, more or less, according to calendar time. Then you got this new one that some other rabbis have done, and it's called a religious one, and they say that the 6,000 ended last March and Jesus is coming this year. I'm just saying. That's what they're saying. I'm not saying that. I'm saying he's coming soon. You can make a conclusion over here, but he's coming soon. But let's just do your solar calendar. What year is it right now? This isn't a trick question. Come on, y'all. Y'all look at me like, if I say something, he's going to say how stupid I am. No. 2015. Now, this means it's after the death of Christ. Okay, so how many years from today to the death of Christ? How long was it? Around 2,000 years. Right? Okay. If you read your Bible and you read the Luke, the third chapter, you'll find a genealogy of Jesus. How many knows how far it goes back? All the way to Adam. All the way to Adam. All the way to Adam. And it's calculated by generation at 4,000 years. Can y'all cipher? Okay. What's 4 plus 2? 6. 4,000 years? 2,000 years? 6,000 years. I'm just saying, y'all, we're on the edge of something absolutely great. We don't set times, we don't set dates, we don't set hours, but we do understand that it is soon by the seasons and the times that we see around us. Amen? The Bible says, well, I won't even deal with Noah right now. Let's skip Noah. Let's jump to Jesus real quick, and we're going to close on this one with Jesus. How about that? Look, go to John chapter 2. Can I come down and start sounding crazy, y'all? I was talking to the sound people, not y'all. So I'm sounding crazy up there, but I'm not down here. Jamila, is that what it is? All right, look in John chapter 2. I want to just look at something. There are several equations or prophecies that are given to you in parable in the Bible or in people's lives. The Good Samaritan is a parable of the coming of the Lord. Right? You remember the Good Samaritan, right? The Bible says he's traveling down, Luke 10 maybe, he's traveling down the road, and the Bible says he was coming from Jerusalem to Jericho. He was coming from the highest place in the world of his nation to the very lowest. He came from heaven to earth. That might have been old Adam on that road, because the Bible says thieves came. What is the devil? He's a thief. Came and beat him up and left him stripped naked and half dead. If you're half dead, you're half dead and half alive. And that's what you are before Jesus comes into your life. You're half dead and half alive. And the Bible said the church tried to help him. Church can't help nobody. I'm just helping y'all right now. The church institution ain't going to help anybody. I'm glad we have it, but the church ain't going to save you. You can kiss anybody's ring you want to. You can get baptism water put all over you, and it ain't going to save you. It's an issue you got to take on with Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that the Pharisee came by and the Levite came by, and neither one of them would help that man because he was a Samaritan and he was dirty and they didn't want him, or he was a man beat up. A Samaritan came by. The Samaritan's a half-breed. That's a type of Jesus. God and man. He comes by and puts oil and wine in his wounds, cleans him up, binds him up, carries him to a hotel, gives him to a hotel keeper, gives him 2 pence. 2 pence is 2 days' pay. And he says this, I'm giving you 2 days now, but if it goes over 2 days, I will be back to pay. A day is like 1,000 years. 1,000 years like a day. 2,000 years, 2 days from then till today. Even if I go into the third day, he said, I'm coming back. I'll take care of this issue. Are y'all still tracking me? All right, let's get done on this one then. I got children's workers down there with kids gnawing their ankles off. On the third day, there was a wedding at Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now both Jesus and his disciples were invited to this wedding. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, they have no wine. He said, woman, what is that to me? Now you got to remember, when he was 13, he thought he was called to the ministry. Any of your kids ever have that? Gabriel did. I can't go to college, Dad. I can't go to college. I got to get in ministry right now. I'm going to go to ministry training. I'm thinking, dude, what? But it's hard to tell him no, so we, go. Well, saying all that to say this, Jesus was just like that. At 13, the Bible says he was in there talking to the Pharisees and the priests and the rabbis. He was sitting there talking to them, and he was explaining scripture, and they were sitting there with their jaws on the ground saying, who in the world is this at 13? And his mama came and said, get in the car. And he said, Mama, I am called to the ministry. She said, you called to that car? You better get in the car. And for 17 years, he went home with her in that car. Didn't get to go into ministry. His first miracle, it's time to start the ministry. Who's going to help him start it? His mama. She said, you need to get to doing something. You're 30 years old. There is no wine. He said, what is that to me? And she looked over to the servants, the disciples, and said, y'all just be prepared. Because she already knew what she had done. Now, I want you to just watch this. The Bible says in verse number 6, now there were how many water pots? 6. Get your prophetic thinking on. 6 water pots. 6 days. 6,000 years. The wedding. Hallelujah. Y'all still tracking me? Get 6 water pots and set these 6 water pots out there. And they did. They filled them up with water. There were 20 or 30 gallons each. Jesus said, fill them with water. And they filled them with water. And when they were filled up, he said to them, you draw out of that now and you take it to the master of the feast. And they took it to the master of the feast. And the master of the feast tasted the water that was made. And he said, don't you know that people bring the good wine at first, or the bad? They bring the good wine at first, and then they bring the bad on. He said to them, every man beginning sets out the, verse number 10, good wine, and then the guests are well drunk. Then the inferiors come out, and you have kept the good wine until last. Say, good wine is last. Now look at the first words in this next verse. It says, this is the beginning of what? There are signs, wonders, and miracles. Wonders is what you wonder about. Miracles is when God takes over and just heals somebody, delivers them, whatever. But a sign points to something. This is the beginning of the signs. See, we read that and think that's a good story, made wine at a wedding. Great. But it's the beginning of signs. So here's what you're going to take out of this, at least today. Jesus is at a wedding. He starts at a wedding. Isaiah 46:10, he speaks the end from the beginning. In the beginning, he was at a wedding, and he was serving heaven's wine. He was not serving Muscatel or Four Roses. He was serving heaven's wine. Amen? Say heaven's wine. Heaven. Say wedding. That's where he started. But God says when something starts, I put the end in it. Can I tell you what he's doing at the end? On the seventh day, he's at another wedding, and he's serving wine again to us, serving us heaven's wine. He started at a wedding, and he ends at a wedding. There's a sign that he's coming back. We're living on a precipice, on an edge. We're living at the edge of a cliff. You're just at the summit. We're at a place where we can just step off. I see myself like I was when I was 10. That I'm just stepping off. And I'm going to float when I do. Yeah. Let's all stand if you would. Hallelujah. I want our elders to come to the front and stand, please. I'm going to ask right now, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're not born again. I'll give you the other half of that. We preached it last week. The Bible says that there will be a great falling away. The Bible says there's going to be two reaping, one taking, one left. Two in bed, one taking, one left. Two at the water, one taking, one left. The Bible makes it very clear there are going to be people standing in church that ain't going. There'll be preachers preaching the day after the rapture. You think everybody's going to be gone. It's going to cause an upheaval. Well, it's going to start Jacob's trouble. That will be bad, but ain't as many going as you think. Right. Not everybody says, I do, did. We've got to live a life if we know he's coming. Peter said, how ought we live if we know he's coming? What do y'all do when your mama's coming to your house? You married folk. Clean it up, right? Shove junk under the bed. They're going to come inspect it. I'm just helping you right now. You need to start stuffing some stuff under the blood of Jesus. You need to start hiding it under the love of God, because the love of God will cover that multitude of sin. God loves you. He doesn't want to lose you. He's in a delay right now, and it's because of salvation. It is not because he hates us. It's not because he's slothful. It's because he's got a time, and we need to use this to be born again. If you're here and you say, Pastor Mike, I am not serving God, but I want to really serve God, I'm just going to ask you to come and stand right here with me, and we're going to get these folk to pray with you right now. You just come and stand right now with me.